Today we are talking about the common skin condition that is far more than skin deep. We are talking all things acne and the psychological scars that it leaves behind. We share with you some listener feedback and some helpful strategies on how to cope with a bad skin day and living with acne.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. I am Kat. I am a registered psychologist.
And I'm Amy, a registered psychotherapist.
And together...
Here we go. Take it away.
And together we make...
The Psychology Sisters.
Why do you hate me so much?
I'm sorry. The Psychology Sisters.
Ooh, that's the energy that I want from our introduction for the rest of our podcast live. My darling, sweet, beautiful, angel, Amy, how are you?
Use more adjectives. Go on. Stop. Tanned, oh, but keep going.
Blonde, smart, athletic, can dance, loves a bushwalk. Amy, how are you?
I think that's the best introduction that I have ever received. Thank you. I've been quite good. Hectic day in the office today, but I feel far better after debriefing with you and catching up. I really look forward to our little potties together, and I'm really keen for this episode. This will be the second time we've recorded this episode, much to our dismay. How have you been?
I think it's
my
bit...
lovely, wholesome, smiley, brunette, tan, beach loving, shape shifting puffer jacket.
The audience never got to hear about that last week.
No, they didn't.
No.
Please reshare the story?
Okay.
In a nutshell.
Okay. In the last episode that we tried to record, this happens quite often with Amy and I. This is not our area of genius podcasting, so sometimes the audio just doesn't work. Anyway, take two. I had a pit last week that involved some fat shaming and some gentle sweating into a jumper because I couldn't fit into it. So really, I was just on the search for a puffer jacket because they are all the rage at the moment. And I went into a shop that's like a really trendy, cool little shop here in Cronulla. And I wanted to try on a jacket and I couldn't be bothered going to the change room because it's a jacket. And there was about seven people in this tiny shop. I tried on this jumper and this cool little puffer jacket and I zipped it up. And then I kind of was like, oh, it's a bit too tight, you know. So then I went to zip it back down and it just didn't, it just didn't zip back down. It just kind of got stuck. And I'd already been out walking and I sweat really easily. And when I exercise, my body expands. It's a phenomenon. And I don't know how it happens, but I turn into Violet. Is it Violet from Willy Wonka? Yeah, she goes into the big blueberry.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Violet Beauregard.
Or I always picture you as that little bird out of Shrek that when Princess Fiona is singing to and it just reaches that pitch that's a little bit too high, it just like
poof. Yeah, that was me in the shop, like a sweaty expanding bird trying on this tiny little pea-sized puffer jacket. And yeah, and I couldn't get it off. And as I was trying to get it off, I was panicking. Like it's flailing. Worse. It's bad in the change room because in the change room, you freak out. You're like, oh, I hope I don't break a zipper or I hope I don't break a stitch or something like that. But at least you're kind of in private. I was in the middle of the shop in the front of the mirror. There's like three shop assistants next to me. So I'm panicking. I'm sweating.
You had a public panic.
I had a public panic. Yeah. And my body was expanding. It was literally Aunt Marge, Harry Potter, flying out the window. That's what I felt like. expanding. Like,
flailing and being flustered, trying to undo the
sweaty. And I'm so sweaty. The upper lip sweat was disgusting. Anyway, so I couldn't unzip it, right? And so, like, I was trying not to let anyone notice. I was just pretending to turn around and twirl in it. Like, why not? Like, twirl in it, but...
And cue interpretive dance.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this looks great from the back and the side. And just didn't want to show them that I was really struggling with this zipper, and I was getting hotter and I was expanding. And then the shop assistant was pretty savage. He comes over and he goes, yeah, you probably should have got that in the large because the small is quite a small fit. It probably doesn't fit you. I was like, thank you, sir. Thanks for the gentle fat shame.
Look, I think your ability to shapeshift and expand and, you know, sweat profusely in awkward social settings is a talent. And
God,
you
have the
ability to present in multiple sizes, and that's not something that should ever be shamed.
It's tough. You know, the worst part of this story is that I can never go back. It's the coolest little fashionable shop, and everyone's like stunning. Like, everyone's like perfectly made up. Everyone in Cronulla.
You are
really,
also stunning.
Yeah, but I'm like a sweaty potato trying to get into this tiny little cool puffer jacket. So I've never walked so fast out of that shop. Luckily, I got it off.
So the question that we're all wondering, did you buy the jacket?
I didn't know. Do I want a jacket that breaks on me? If it can't handle me at my worst, it doesn't deserve me at my best.
Classic Merlin.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm angry at puff jackets as a whole at the moment. I see them and I think that's cool, but you're probably just going to betray me, so I'm not going to buy you. So
you were too puffy for the puffer jacket.
Oh, God.
You so, out-puffered the puffer jacket.
Yeah, I'm actually recording this from Mexico. I've packed up my belongings and I've started a new life.
Ah, oh, Mexico.
So that was my pit last week. What about you, my darling Amy? Tell me your pit.
I love that pit. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. Just keep it real.
Yeah, keeping it real. I don't know what my pit is.
Well, we can go straight to the pit. We have some exciting news. Please enlighten our lovely audience on something that we've been clickbaiting for what seems like 7 years.
We have a very, very exciting announcement for you all. Kat and I have been working tirelessly behind the scenes at a very exciting new project / business venture, which we cannot wait to announce a little bit later.
So Amy and I have started this podcast about a year ago. It has probably been one of the hardest things I've ever done, but it's the best thing that I think we've ever done. We have worked quite hard for the last 12 months. We never really thought how quickly, I guess, this podcast would take off. We literally just thought it would be my mum and dad and Paul, Amy's dad.
Number one fan. Paul Hudson.
Still number one fan.
We see you.
We love you, Paul. So it has obviously, you know, it took off quite quickly, and we get loads and loads of messages over the last year about people wanting to, if they could see us for individual support. And we are so beyond flattered that we do have the love coming from you guys. So we are working on our own fun little side project, and we will be announcing all the details really, really soon. But we're both so excited, and I couldn't have picked a better person to do it with the side, my darling Amy. I just coerced Amy into starting a podcast, and now look at us.
Literally, I still remember it like it was yesterday. About a year ago, Kat sent me a text message saying, would you like to do a podcast with me? To which I responded, yes. But I didn't anticipate, nor did I think about just how much work, but in a good way. Like, it's been a really fulfilling and really rewarding process, especially doing it with you. And I just feel like all around, you know, it's been really great to provide a space for people to gain access to free information and supporting information that really supports. And like the messages that we get from some of our listeners saying how much listening to our podcast has really helped them and given them greater insight and, you know, help support them alongside individual psychological intervention literally makes our week. Like, that has been such a rewarding experience. And I think, well, I can only speak for myself, but I really just didn't fathom that first starting. It was just something fun I could do with you. And it has continued to be fun, but I think it has developed into something far more rewarding than first thought.
Than we ever expected. And I think I remember our first episode, I remember when it got over 100 plays. I was like, what? Why are people in Belgium listening to this? So it's been an incredible ride with you, my darling Amy. We're not stopping yet though. So it has just been very exciting, this fun new project we've got coming up. So we just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who listens on a weekly basis or just listens to the occasional episode and reaches out and messages us. We really appreciate it so much. I know there are some weeks where we, you know, we do work full time and we can't be as present as we'd like to, or we can't sometimes get out episodes as quickly as we'd like, but hopefully our new project means we can put a little bit more support back for our listeners. So we can't wait to tell you guys exactly what it is, but stay tuned for next season and all will be revealed.
And without further ado, let's dive deep into today's episode.
So Ames, before we do jump into the episode, I thought it'd be really helpful for listeners to kind of get an understanding of how acne has impacted on us. We are not immune to acne, and I just wanted to kind of, yeah, share our little stories. So Ames, tell me about your experience with acne.
I agree. I think it can be really helpful for people to, you know, relate to shared experience. So yeah, when I was in high school, I started developing acne, hormonal acne, and I did find it really debilitating in that I had a constant preoccupation with my skin. I was always thinking when I was talking to someone, are they looking at my pimples? Does my skin look bad? I remember when I got my first boyfriend, I would hate him touching my face because I was worried that he would be feeling my acne. So I would avoid, you know, him touching my face, and I would avoid a lot of situations where people might see my skin without makeup. So things like sleeping over at friends' houses, I would either, you know, wake up really early before everyone else and put on makeup or fix my makeup. I actually remember I went on a camping trip with a bunch of friends, and I was so worried the whole time about fixing my makeup and not letting anyone see what my skin actually looked like. I don't actually remember much of the trip. All I remember is that I was constantly preoccupied with making sure that my skin looked okay. I also remember my mum saying to me once, bless her cotton socks, that when I remember I was standing out in sunlight, and she said to me, oh my goodness, you know, your skin looks so bad in the sunlight, like it really highlights all the bumps. And that one comment stayed with me for, like, I still remember it now. Mm-hmm. And so I would avoid standing in sunlight talking to people. Like, I would always make sure I, you know, held my hand up to shade my face, or that I just avoided, you know, people seeing me in direct sunlight, because I was so worried that they would be thinking the same thing that my mum said to me, like, oh my gosh, your skin looks so horrible. So I can really, really relate to the, you know, psychological impacts of acne and just how much it can plummet your self-esteem and lead to, I guess, this relentless anxiety and, you know, preoccupation around what people are thinking about you, whether people are looking at you and just thinking, oh my God, her skin looks so bad. Yeah, I think I've definitely had my own struggles with skin. And even now as a 27-year-old adult, I still get hormonal acne. You know, it has been a really long process in finding things that work for my skin, you know, different, I guess, ways of eating and, you know, topical treatments. I've tried a lot of things, and it can be really frustrating and defeating to still have breakouts mm-hmm. after trying and spending mm-hmm. A lot of money. So yeah, totally. It's a real battle. And I think it's something that could be talked about more.
And that's the frustration with acne, isn't it? You know, you kind of think, I just need this one product to work and it'll all be better. And it's so time consuming, it's so money consuming, and it's so emotionally draining going through different products and trying new diets. And, you know, that's a lot definitely. To go through. And like, that's frustrating when you don't get the results that you want.
Like waking up in the morning and the first thing you do is check your face, like check what your skin looks like. Do I have any new pimples, you know, and that kind of sets the tone for how your day is going to go. So, you know, waking up in the morning, like, oh, actually my skin looks a little bit better. Like, and you know, you feel like, oh, thank gosh, it's getting better. And then the reverse, like you wake up in the morning, you might have a few new pimples and it's so defeating. You know, like I remember times, especially in high school, where I would just cry. Like I would just look at my skin and I would just cry. because it's such a helpless feeling. What about you? What's your experience been?
So mine perhaps is a little bit different.
Not as dramatic as mine.
No. It's not like you had a really tough time in high school. Yeah, so I was a little bit different. I was always very lucky when I was a child and teenager that I had quite good, I guess, I perceived it as quite good skin. I think in high school, though, I mean, I got breakouts and I still experience acne as a lot of teenagers do. But I think in high school, upon reflection, I think I had bigger fish to fry. I think I was more preoccupied with my weight, and that's the thing that I fixated on and that's what I focused on. So I think if I got a breakout, I was focusing more on my body because I thought that being skinny was the best thing you could be. And I remember I had this really good friend and she was so skinny because back then that was what was in trend in fashion. And she would get breakouts and she'd be really down on herself. And I'd be like, girl, at least you're skinny. Like you've won, you've done it. And so now in adulthood, I have started to experience adult acne and it really hasn't come on until the last few years. And I can really understand on the other side of it, how frustrating and debilitating it can be. And it honestly, I really found myself when I started to get the breakouts I was really blaming myself because I'd been like, well, my skin's been good for, you know, most of my life. I must be doing something wrong. Like, is it the food that I'm eating? Is it what I'm putting on it? Is it not enough water? Is it my pillowcases? So I got caught in this spiral of blame and that made me more stressed, which ironically led to more breakouts. So I can really understand now coming out the other side of it, of having, you know, those hormonal breakouts, just how frustrating it can be.
Yeah, definitely is really frustrating to experience, and that agonizing in more ways than one. Again, that sounds really dramatic, but I think when you experience it, that's how it feels. It just feels like painful and not just on a physical level.
It just feels like you can't do anything right. That's what I feel when I get breakouts, that I can't do anything right. I can spend so much money on skincare and I can drink all this water and, you know, and I just feel when you get a breakout, it's like, it's almost like a failure. It's almost like I screwed up something else. Perhaps I shouldn't have had that donut on the weekend. And you can see how quickly you can get really fixated on. And that's a very slippery slope when you start to blame your diet, or when you start to kind of get really fixated on that it's in your control, that it's your responsibility for your breakouts. And that can be quite an exhausting process to go through and quite almost self-deprecating, because you're kind of putting all that control and blame and responsibility on yourself when in fact there is so much more out of your control, unfortunately.
Yeah,
that we know.
There are a lot of other contributing factors, and I think too the thinking that it's something that you'll grow out of, that's something that I have struggled a little bit with, is that my father also had acne and he would always say to me, oh, don't worry, like you have the same skin that I had, you'll grow out of it. And I remember having this really, really bad skin day and I was 25 and, you know, I got upset and I was talking to my dad about it and he was like, oh, you know, like, don't worry, sweetie, you'll grow out of it. And I remember thinking, I'm 25, like, when am I, what is the magic age where this suddenly disappears and I stop suffering from acne?
I'm an adult. Because,
yeah, it's been 10 years, like.
It's been 84 years.
Yeah, when am I just going to grow out of this, you know, condition? And I think that can be really frustrating as well, is when you're an adult that's suffering from acne, it can just feel like this, you know, relentless thing that just takes over, and that can be a real struggle with, exactly like you said, Kat, like, I'm doing all the things right, like, why is it still here? Today we wanted to talk to you about adults suffering with acne, as I think given COVID restrictions, we have heard a lot about hashtag ISOSkin and how people have really brought to light I guess the psychological impacts of suffering with acne, that is a really visible condition, and that can have a really big impact on, you know, their social lives, relationships, occupations. And we often make our decisions based on how we feel about what we look like, and acne is a big part of that.
I I think with isocyan, it is so relevant at the moment. And I certainly in my personal and both professional life have seen clients and friends and family going through a very different phase of their skin, I guess. I mean, we are in this pandemic, which is a big stress on us. It's been a stress on all of us in some way, shape or form. And I think perhaps there was an expectation that, oh, sweet, I'm staying home a little bit more. I'm relaxed a bit more. Hopefully my skin will clear up because I'm not wearing makeup, or I'm not as stressed because I'm not going to work. But it's probably been the opposite for a lot of people. If anything, there's been more breakouts, especially people who maybe hadn't really suffered acne before. I think there was an increase in that, the hashtag isoskin. So it's a really timely time to talk about acne and the impact it has on us psychologically. And as you're saying, Ames, it is that real domino effect, isn't it? It's not just a skin condition for a lot of people. It's more of a psychological effect that it has on us.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it kind of does exactly go into that domino or snowball effect, where how we feel about what we look like affects our behavior. You know, I know people can go from being very bubbly and outgoing to experiencing, you know, quite chronic breakouts where they become withdrawn and closed off. And because we worry about acne being the first thing and perhaps the only thing others see when they look at us, it becomes the first and only thing we see when we look at ourselves. And I think that can place a significant stress on us. And then, you know, that becomes the way we look impacting the way we feel, and likewise, the way we feel can impact the way we look. So there's this connection. It's an embryological connection. And what that means is the same stuff that our nervous system develops out of, our skin develops out of. So the nerve endings in the skin are in a constant connection with our brain. So there's a direct connection between the two. And it's quite well known that stress can interfere with our immune cells, and this through our chemical receptors or the messages from our brain actually affects our skin's capacity to heal. So think about it. When we get nervous, our cheeks turn red. When, you know, we have a lead up to like a highly anticipated function, we might get a bit nervous, a bit like, oh, what am I going to wear? You know, I really want to look good for this. You know, I really want people to be impressed, or, you know, so on and so forth. We have an important event like a birthday or a celebration of some sort. It's so normal for us to break out either the night before or the day of. You know, we might sweat and get clammy when we worry. The way we feel affects the function of our skin. We know the more stress we get, the higher levels of cortisol come into our body. The higher levels of cortisol equal higher levels of testosterone, the more sebum production, and boom, we have a pimple. There is this potential for a vicious cycle where stress can impact the progression by the worse my skin gets, the worse I feel. The worsening of the condition leads to more stress. And I think this becomes challenging in the way that how we think about our acne is a central issue in the cause and effect of the condition, which is why I think it does have such a profound impact on our psychology.
And it's that vicious cycle, isn't it? And it can feel, for people who suffer acne, can make you feel so trapped, because you get a breakout and you stress about it, and then increased stress means increased cortisol, as you said before, Ames, which leads to increased breakout. So it can feel so isolated and alone and frustrating. And I think also I wanted to bring up blame. I mean, blame is certainly something that I feel like with a lot of acne sufferers feel like, oh my gosh, when I got a breakout, what have I done wrong? What have I eaten the wrong thing? Did I not take off my makeup? Did I not clean my face? Did I use the wrong product? There's all of these questions that maybe go through our mind when we get a breakout, and that can be so exhausting. And I think it's just good to note here that sometimes acne, we aren't responsible for it. We aren't responsible for our hormones. We don't have an on and off switch, unless we're perhaps maybe on some birth control. But for the most part, we don't have complete control over a lot of the things that cause acne. And that can feel so frustrating, especially for someone who's anxious, who seeks control.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, we can have a genetic predisposition to acne as well, which is why for some, like, acne is quite common and it is quite common, more so than what we probably think, to experience it later on in adult life. I think a lot of people associate acne with adolescence and puberty and, you know, being a pimply teenager. So when you're an adult who's experiencing chronic or severe acne, it can feel really isolating. And exactly right, it can feel like we've lost a lot of control in I guess the choices we make. You know, you could, if it's a genetic predisposition, you could be the most healthy, you know, skin conscious person, but, you know, sometimes there are just factors outside of our control. And definitely, and I think that's where the stories we tell ourselves about acne matter. And it matters about any illness, because it determines how we react and how we seek help and how effective treatment is. You know, I think it's also important to acknowledge that the severity of a condition will have no bearing on how an individual perceives it. So acne is not life-threatening, no, and it's not necessarily physically debilitating, but the experience can be, as we've said, profoundly debilitating, as it impacts a person's daily functioning, in the sense that it has been suggested that people that have, you know, moderate to severe acne suffer from poor body image, low self-esteem. They experience social isolation, like Kat said. You know, you kind of want to close off from the world and not be seen. And it can lead to a constriction of activities. For example, you might avoid social activities like going to the beach because people might see your skin, or, you know, certain sports because you don't want people to see your skin. So as part of the emotional impact, we see increased levels of anxiety, depression, anger, and frustration. I know a lot of studies have characterized the relationship between acne with anxiety, depression, embarrassment, you know, lack of self-confidence, social dysfunction, even unemployment. It can really impact our decision-making around employment opportunities. And this psychosocial impact is considered one of the guiding, I guess, principles of clinical measurement, because it has such a high measure of impact on a person, and it can lead to lifelong problems with self-esteem and even suicidality.
So speaking of studies and ballistic statistics, I was reading one and it was talking about major depressive disorder. So people who suffer from acne are at a 63% higher risk of developing major depressive disorder within the first year of developing acne compared to those without acne. So major depressive disorder is a very serious diagnosis, and 63% higher risk, that's a huge statistic for someone that's not to be taken lightly. So in this study, it was in 2011, they compared participants who reported to have substantial acne compared to those who reported to have little to no acne. So researchers found that suicidal ideation was twice as high among girls and three times as high among boys in the group that had severe acne versus those who had little to no acne. Suicidal ideation remained a significant statistic associated with substantial acne. Other impacts on the sufferers of acne on their life were things such as increased prevalence of having a dual diagnosis with a mental health problem, lack of friendships, lack of relationships, dropping out of school, lack of employment rates, not pursuing romantic relationships, and not pursuing sexual relationships. So you can see how one skin condition can lead to a whole variety of issues. And I think that that's something that's really overlooked with acne, because you might get doctors or friends or family say, oh, it's just acne, you know, you'll be fine. And actually, I think a lot of people don't see the psychological effects, the psychosocial effects of acne. And I think that that's really overlooked by so many doctors, especially with, I know lots of clients who've gone to get medication for acne, and not one of them would say, you know, how have you been feeling lately? How's your mood? It's just based on the acne. So
definitely. I read a study that compared people suffering with acne to those that had arthritis and epilepsy, and 41% has had a positive screen for a potential psychiatric disorder. So while we can look at acne and say, yeah, it's a really common, you know, skin condition that, you know, teenagers are prone to, I think we do, exactly like you said, Kat, overlook the really significant impacts it can have on, you know, a multitude of facets of someone's functioning.
Yeah, I think it's with that, especially in teenage, I mean, that period of someone's life is quite fragile and vulnerable already. I mean, self-esteem generally plummets, self-confidence will plummet. That's generally when adolescents will start reaching out to try and get a romantic partner. They start to become a bit more independent from their parents. But you can see here that all of those factors combined, if someone has acne, can compound into really low moods, depression, anxiety, even suicidal ideation. And you can see that it could stop an acne sufferer from doing the normal adolescent milestones, such as, you know, going out with friends, pursuing a romantic partner, attending school, getting a job, because they may feel so low on themselves in their skin. So you can see how, you know, it's quite a fragile time, adolescence, and couple that with acne and the psychological effects of acne, it's really scary for some teenagers who perhaps don't know how to reach out for help. And not just teenagers, adults, you know, when you, adult acne, that's a really debilitating condition to go through. So I think more awareness, especially, we always say this, we don't hate GPs, but I think more awareness when maybe, you know, a sufferer goes to a GP or a dermatologist around the psychological effects of acne would be really helpful for some sufferers.
Definitely, definitely. More understanding around the vulnerabilities that people experience.
And the risk. That's a high risk.
Yeah, definitely. And I think too, with so much emphasis attached to our physical appearance, even if you're not someone that acknowledges it at a subconscious level, we are all concerned about how others perceive us. That's why, you know, poor body image manifests in different forms. For instance, it could be, you know, an embarrassed acne sufferer could develop a habit of avoiding eye contact. Or it's quite common for people to grow their hair in a way that hides their skin condition. Girls may resort to, you know, using heavy makeup to cover up their acne. And, you know, even while that could aggravate the problem, I think you know, for a lot of people, they reach that point of desperation and they just want to hide or they just want to cover it up. And in certain situations, the skin disorder prevents people, you know, as I said, from doing things that they really, really enjoy, whether it be sports or social events and things like that.
Yeah. And think about it. The treatment for depression aims, we know this, it's social inclusion. It's going outside. It's getting exercise. It's participating in work. It's trying to do any behavioral activation, really. And people who suffer from acne do not want to do any of those things. You know, they may feel concerned about the judgment that they may receive from others, so they will socially withdraw. And so you can see how treatment of acne and depression can be quite tricky, because everything we would recommend for treatment of depression can be counteracted by fear of judgment for someone who has acne.
That's so true. I think, just like we said at the start, when you're suffering with acne, it can feel like your whole world gets smaller. You know, we don't want to date out of fear of embarrassment. We might not apply, you know, for jobs out of fear, or we might not go to the gym, or we might not, you know, want to go out with your friends just until your skin gets better. Like, you might tell yourself, oh, I'll just wait until my skin gets better, or I'll just wait until I'm not having, you know, a flare up. Life kind of gets put on hold. Mm-hmm. And this is a significant problem, because the smaller our world gets, the more difficult it becomes to get out of that place. And I think that's the risk. That's the real, I guess, cause for concern here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some ways that we can cope a little better while experiencing and suffering from acne?
I think number one for me would be really managing your stress. Stress can certainly wreak havoc on your hormones and that cortisol and the sebum production. So I think from a psychological perspective, stress management would be really, really key if your acne is caused from any of those factors. So relaxation strategies, deep breaths, doing a meditation. Ames and I just did a progressive muscle relaxation and mindfulness episode a few episodes ago. So just having something scripted to listen to when you're feeling like you've got that pit in your stomach, or you're feeling overwhelmed, or you're feeling that increased heart rate. And, you know, by now, hopefully, you know what your triggers are, you know, when you're feeling anxious. So I couldn't recommend more understanding your triggers, knowing when you're stressed, and just having something quick and easy you can do to help you to de-stress a little bit. I think that not just for acne, but for your overall well-being, it is incredibly helpful. So that would be my number one tip, is dealing with that stress first and kind of like monitoring how stressed you are and what makes you stressed, and maybe even making a little diary of when you get a breakout and writing what happened around that time when you got the breakout, like the couple days before leading up to it. Were there any major stresses, you know? So that can be a really good way to link up whether it is a stress as a result of stress.
Definitely. I agree. I think also dealing with the psychosocial impact as well. So knowing how to cope with stares and the preoccupation of worrying about what that person might be thinking when they look at you, and acknowledging that is key, and coping with uncertainty as well. So I think one of the key things in the psychological impact for acne is the disfiguring or severe acne in particular, because this creates, pressure for constantly changing. And that's what I mean by uncertainty. For example, if you have, say, a birthmark on your face, it's there and it stays the same. You don't wake up with more birthmarks, and it doesn't grow, it doesn't get worse. But when you're living with a skin disease like acne, you're constantly adapting and changing your body image and your self-image. So learning to cope with the uncertainty is really important. Learning to, challenge that acne does not define you. The condition doesn't become definitive of who you are.
Yeah, you're so much more than the spots on your face and the bumps on your skin. You are not defined by that. And I think talking about self-talk, and I know we always say this, but the neutral self-talk. So if you do notice yourself engaging in that real, real negative self-talk when you look in the mirror, really catch yourself what you say to yourself. You might think, oh, I didn't say anything. You know, I just look at myself and I get frustrated. There is some internal monologue going on in your mind that is telling you something that's making you feel frustrated or stressed. So it could even be, oh, I hate my skin. I look ugly. I look disgusting. Really catching yourself when you do that, because that's going to be the thing that impacts your mood for the whole day. It's not that your acne made you stressed. It's the way that you think about your acne that's making you stressed and angry. It's your relationship with it. So I would really strongly recommend that neutral self-talk. So I have skin, or I like the skin on my hands today. My skin is serving a function. My skin is helping my organs breathe. So see how that's really neutral. It's not positive, but it's just really neutral. And that's a really good step when you're engaging in that negative self-talk to get you to the neutral. Ames and I always say this, start with the neutral and then move to the positive self-talk.
Yeah, definitely. Start with things that you believe. And like I said before, challenging the way we think about our acne addresses the central issue in the cause and perhaps the effect of the condition as well. So disrupting and challenging those negative thoughts or that negative internal monologue and the way you speak about your skin is really important, so that it doesn't then result in feelings of guilt and shame and lead to low self-worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some practical things that you could do which may help, again, they may assist with stress management, and they're just vital for emotional and physical health in general, are, you know, good nutrition. So things that are, you know, really going to nourish your body and your skin, and exercise. Again, great for stress management and really good for our overall health and general well-being.
Yeah, and we're not doctors or dermatologists. We really recommend, if you do suffer from acne and it's really taking a toll on your life, to certainly reach out for the medical side of things, but especially psychologically as well. If it's really impacting on your functioning and your ability to get through the day, we strongly recommend you do reach out for some psychological support. I guess another thing that could help with like treatment for the distress you might have about your acne is partaking in some behavioral experiments. And I know we'll go into this a little bit later with a strategy from a listener. So behavioral experiments is going out in public and you might think, oh my gosh, everyone's going to look at me. Everyone's going to stare at my pimple. Everyone's going to look at that acne on my face. When you go out in public, really, do you ever notice anyone else's acne? I mean, do you sit and stare at someone's acne and then do you judge them? You know, if you see someone with acne, do you think, oh, they're a terrible person or they must be really ugly? You probably, it's not even a speck on your radar because you're probably so focused on yourself. So there's a good chance that when you go out in public, people might not judge you for your acne.
Definitely. And that lovely listener said, when I realized that my acne affected my self-confidence and my social life so much, I decided to do a little case study experiment where I asked everyone I met face to face what they thought about my acne. And most people said that they definitely noticed it, but for a total of about 1 minute. And then they focused on having a conversation with me. That definitely helped me realize that even though it is noticeable, people mainly focus on me as a person and not my acne.
Love that. So we had some lovely listeners write in with some helpful tips and strategies because Ames put up on Instagram a poll on how people generally deal when they have a bad skin day. So these are the things that our amazing listeners have shared, and we thought they'd be so good for you guys to listen from people who suffer acne and are going through it at the moment. So we had another one from a listener. So having a good night's rest, reminding myself acne is natural and minimizing my stress.
Great tip. Another person wrote, I've never had bad acne, but when I would break out, I would use honey and lemon on my face. Never fails.
So this lovely listener wrote, getting to the root cause, diet, fixing deficiencies that showed up on my bloods and stressing less. Lots of common stress themes here, huh?
Yeah. Another person wrote, I realized I didn't notice other people's acne, so other people probably don't notice mine.
Yeah. I really love that one.
Another thing that might be helpful when experiencing severe acne perceived severe acne is listening to, Another thing that can be really helpful when experiencing severe acne or perceived severe acne is looking at YouTube videos from people that are experiencing the same thing. I know Sarah's Day was someone that I watched a lot when I was a little bit younger and going through that hormonal acne. It felt really nice to hear someone's, I guess, shared experience that I can relate to and different approaches that they had on treating their acne. I really related to Sarah's Day because she has that holistic approach to health. There are another couple of people, I can't for the life of me remember their names, but they were dermatologists. They had a dermatologist background and they spoke a lot about topical and holistic treatments for acne as well. Another couple of things that I found really helpful were following people on Instagram that also suffer from acne so that you're not saturated with perfect skin content, that you are getting, you know,
a normal
somewhere on your newsfeed, you're seeing normal skin. Imperfect skin with flaws, because that is human. That is what normal people look like without filters and makeup and editing. There is this really amazing, inspiring woman. Her Instagram is Mick Zazon. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but she just promotes normal bodies, body confidence, skin confidence, accepting your body for all that it is. And I just love her. I think her content is amazing and, you know, just really great to have on your feed, just some normalcy.
And I think that's really good because what that does is showing people who are on YouTube or Instagram who are quote influencers or quote beautiful people. It's breaking that stigma that acne equals ugly and clear skin equals beauty. And I think that by showing classically beautiful people or influencers or attractive people who suffer from acne, we start to think, oh, it's normal if I suffer from acne because this person suffers from acne. It doesn't mean that I'm ugly or weird or different. It means that I'm human. And I think that by watching those things has such a good impact on mental health for people who suffer from acne, because it's what's really normalizing it and really starting to break down the stigma of acne and the association that it has with ugliness or weirdness or strangeness, and starts to really just make it normalness and humanness.
Definitely.
Okay, guys, we hope that was helpful. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. And this is our last episode for the season, but we'll be back in about a month with a little special announcement.
I'm so excited. I hope you guys found this somewhat normalized, just how detrimental acne can be to our daily functioning. And, you know, we hope that this is somewhat relatable for some people that might be suffering with acne at the moment, to know that you are not alone and you are not defined by your acne. And yeah, just that we hope that it helped.
Love that little cheerleader over here. All right, guys, we will catch you in season 3. If you like this episode or any of our others, please feel free to go back and have a listen to any you might have missed and review us on Apple, on iTunes podcast app. And we will see you guys for season 3.
Woo!
Woo! Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you want to see more, please follow us on Instagram at The Psychology Sisters. To make sure that you never miss another episode, please hit the subscribe button in the podcast app. If you know someone who might enjoy this episode, we would love you to share this with them. Please note the content shared in this episode is purely educational and does not replace personalized advice from a mental health professional. See you next week for more spicy science and sexy self-help.